Following are comments on the romance mode of several of William Shakespeare's plays. "We are such stuff as dreams are made on," Shakespeare's romance mode in The Tempest and other plays. The Shakespeare plays to which we have given the name romance, Pericles, Cymbeline, The Winter's Tale, The Tempest, and The Two Noble Kinsmen, were not called that by Shakespeare or his contemporaries. In the Shakespeare First Folio of 1623, as put together by Shakespeare's friends and fellow actors John Hemmings and Henry Condell, The Tempest is listed first among the comedies, and The Winter's Tale is listed last in the same category. Cymbeline is included among the tragedies, and neither Pericles nor The Two Noble Kinsmen is included at all. Pericles was included in the Shakespeare Third Folio of 1663 through 64, and Kinsmen appeared in quarto format in 1634, and then in the Beaumont and Fletcher Second Folio of 1679. The solidity of the romance play genre, then, is a product of modern critical study, and in truth, Shakespeare is difficult to confine within such terms. We might borrow the then-popular genre of tragicomedy, but that doesn't quite fit either. It seems too combinatory, almost too mechanical, to suit plays such as The Tempest. Shakespeare was a master of what one of his characters, Polonius in Hamlet, calls the poem unlimited, or rather the play unlimited. Still, there are some things we can reasonably say about this modern, constructed genre within the Shakespearean canon. Northrop Frye writes with precision about the defining characteristics of the tragic vision. "What underlies this vision," he posits, quote unquote, "is being in time, the sense of the one-directional quality of life, where everything happens once and for all, where every act brings unavoidable and fateful consequences, and where all experience vanishes, not simply into the past, but into nothingness, annihilation. In the tragic vision, death is, ellipsis, the essential event that gives shape and form to life." By contrast, in Frye's schema, the romance pattern is cyclical, not linear. In romance plays, death does not define life. Instead, romance characters get a chance to recover some of what they have lost, and to redeem themselves and the order within which they function. In Shakespeare's romance plays and comedies, the social order borrows from the stability and perpetuity of the great seasonal cycles that literary cultures have invoked for thousands of years. The romance mode, as we have come to understand it, differs from the tragic mode of action and perception, but it isn't identical with comedy either. While both comedy and romance depend partly on the renovation of a corrupt social order, sometimes by temporary removal into a green world of nature where magic can happen and where restorations and reunions are possible, romance is to be distinguished from tragedy and comedy in its strongly Janus-like quality, its ambivalence about the positive endings it supplies. In a romance play, the characters don't get do-overs in the purest sense. They get second chances in altered circumstances, following temporal gaps or delays. Events and persons may come full circle, but there will be loss and sorrow along the way, and the situation can't be repaired in a way that altogether removes the loss or sorrow, or annuls the time a person has spent on selfish or otherwise misguided obsessions and pursuits. It's worth suggesting, too, that Shakespeare's romance plays, for all their magical and fantastic plot trappings, offer the most realistic or naturalistic orientation toward life. Not an offer of ultimate insight and intense clarity near the point of being crushed by inexorable forces, as in tragedy. Not a sunny representation of individual satisfaction and happy communities, as in the lighter Shakespearean comedies, but a kind of experiential wisdom through recurrence that, if we live long enough, allows us to abide in uncertainty, accept the changes and loss that time brings, and be thankful for the rare and all but miraculous second chances we may receive. It may be this thankfulness that blossoms into what critics have sometimes called the characteristic emotion issuing from the romance genre, a feeling of wonder whereby the partial recoveries and redemptions that the characters enjoy are experienced almost as miracles. Toward the end of Homer's Iliad, Apollo offers an insight that we might apply to romance as well as tragedy. Quote unquote, "A steadfast spirit have the fates given unto men." In Greek, that's Tleiton gar moirai thumon theson anthropoisin. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Friday, May 23rd, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake.